friends and some new friends. Just happy to be with you and meet you. Amen. I was back there just worshiping. I was so thankful that the Lord did that for our sister Josie. I don't know her background or what she's going through, but I was thinking what the Bible says in Hebrews. It says, the blood of Jesus has the power to purge your conscience from dead works. You know, it's not that just Jesus shed his blood 2,000 years ago and it's a historical fact, and because of that, we can have faith and believe, but there's actually a supernatural spiritual power through the blood of Jesus. And you're wicked and you're guilty and you're ashamed and all of those things. And when you come to the Lord and you get born again, just all that just goes away. Some people call it the sea of forgetfulness, all the different things we call. I don't care where it went. I'm just glad it's gone. Amen, somebody. Amen. I'm just so thankful for the work that the Lord has done in my life. And it's doing in this sister's life and everybody's life. So glad to be here at this conference. Thankful for the opportunity to share this pulpit. Didn't expect it. And definitely there's probably others here that could maybe even do a better job. And I pray that you won't fault me for that. But maybe you'll hear what the Lord has to say to you. Amen. I believe the Lord will use us to speak. And I pray that he speaks to you tonight and deals with your heart. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 21 with me. While you're turning there, just to give you a quick introduction to those that don't know me, there may be a few here or more than that. My name's Chris Wilkins. I pastor a small church in Troop, Texas. I was singing a song this afternoon at lunch, and Sister Ann said, don't quit your pastorate. And I was thankful for that. And I can say I'm excited, amen, to go back to the church and just to pastor that church, not because of new families come that I know of, or not because we've remodeled or the different things that we've got going on, but because it's the deep work that the Lord's doing in me. Amen. It's I'm so thrilled and so excited, and the rough edges he's grinding off, it's not so comfortable, but I'm glad he's doing it. And I'm thankful for the thoughts he's given me, the ideas, amen, the love that I'm growing in towards the people that are there. And we just ask you to pray for us, and God will help us. We want to be a New Testament church. I mean, we want to do this. We want to be what we read, and I know the Lord's going to help us with that, and I thank you so much for your prayers. Amen. Matthew 21, I'm going to start reading in verse number 33. Matthew 21, 33, it says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But the husbandmen saw the son, and they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scripture the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing the fruits thereof. Let's just pray together, and let's just thank the Lord for the word of God tonight. Lord, we love you and thank you. We just honor you for your word. We know the word has power. You said man cannot live, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We ask tonight that, Lord God, you'll anoint, Lord, the preaching, the hearing, and that, God, we'll hear what you're trying to say. We want to hear your heart tonight. We want to hear your mind tonight, Lord God. We want a glimpse into what you think and what you believe and what you feel about us. We just ask that, God, you'll lead us in a straight path, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on the title tonight, Hand Over the Fruit and Nobody Gets Hurt. Hand over the fruit and nobody gets hurt. There's a lot that could be said about the text that I read, and there's certainly a lot of prophetic utterance that's going on in the text, and I just want to deal tonight on the fruit of God in our lives and in our ministries. I was on our way over here with Brother Terry, and I guess it's the Elam Baptist Church had on their sign, God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. And when I read the scriptures and I look into the Word of God and I compare it to my life and my ministry and what God has me doing, amen, I constantly try to remind myself, and I'm here to remind you tonight, that God wants us to be fruitful. God wants us to accomplish the task. It's not that there's this daunting task out there that we cannot achieve or that we cannot grab a hold of. Amen. But through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can finish the work that God has planned for us. Amen. And we should expect fruit. The Lord expected fruit from us, and we also can expect fruitfulness, amen, in our ministries. When we look at the text, amen, in that the first verse that we read, verse number 33, I personally believe he's talking about the kingdom of God. He said he planted a vineyard, and he digged a wine press, and he built a tower, and he hedged it in, and he did all of these things. And all of those things that were accomplished that the master of the vineyard did, he did all of those things so that we could be fruitful, so that we could accomplish the task, so that in the season of fruit, when the master came for what belonged to him, amen, that we would not have empty baskets, empty lives, empty churches, and empty ministries, but that we would have something to glorify and praise the Lord about. We read in verse number 43, there was a warning. He said he was going to take the kingdom from them and give it unto a nation, amen, that was producing the fruits of that kingdom. Amen. And I got to thinking that all of the things that the Lord has given to the church, all of the spiritual giftings, the fivefold ministry, all of those things that the Lord has given us, even through Pentecost, all of those things were provided, amen, for you and for me so that I could accomplish the task that the Lord had in mind when he called me, that you could accomplish the task, amen, when the Lord called you. Amen, that we're not out in this world without power. We're not out in this world without hope. We're not out in this world without life. When we go out into a dark, dark society and out into a dark, sin-stricken world, we don't have to shrink back, amen, and hide in our churches. No, we can go out with confidence, believing and knowing of a surety, amen, that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And if we add to our faith virtue and all of those implements there, he said, I will make you, amen, that you'll neither be barren or unfruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I'm unfruitful, I don't need to look to him. Amen. I don't need to look to you, but I need to look inside my own life, in my ministry, and find out, why am I not accomplishing the task God has called me to do? Hallelujah. When we look in this same chapter of Matthew 21, we didn't read it. The three different incidences where there was like a misplacing of what God created. But the first one you would read about, Jesus came into the temple and he found the temple not as it was supposed to be. We all know he went in, he cleansed the temple. And when he went in, he found that they were selling and they made merchandise out of the house of God, and it had become, amen, a den of thieves, and people were doing things in the temple that it was never intended to do. When I was thinking about the temple, I went back, amen, I was thinking about Solomon, how he, amen, he constructed the temple, and you know it, you've read it, all the details that went into the construction of that temple, and all the sacrifices that had been made, thousands upon thousands of animal sacrifices, the prayers that went, everything was in place, but it was not complete until the Spirit of God came into that place. The Shekinah glory came down, the ministers couldn't even stand to minister, God was in the house. Amen. I got to thinking how far things, I realized the temple was destroyed and all that. Amen. But how far things had come from the moment when Solomon prayed that dedicatory prayer and the Spirit of God came down and God was in the house. How far things had gone to when Jesus entered into the temple and saw all of that stuff happening. No doubt we know, I don't know all the details of what went on, but I know it wasn't good. Just by the response of Jesus, amen, he wasn't happy. We understand that. He cleansed the temple. Amen. With all of these things going on in the church, the buying, the selling, the hustle, and the bustle, it reminds me of the church at Sardis. Amen. Where they had this name that they were alive, or this reputation that they were alive. When society looked on them, they saw all the activity and all the people and all the programs and all the financing and all of these things, and they said, man, that's a happening church. That's where we want to go. So the reputation was, it was a reputation that they were alive. But when God looked down from heaven, he says, you have a name that thou livest, but you're really dead. And you've not accomplished the very simplistic task or the simplistic goals that I had in mind when the church was created. Two goals, life transformation and genuine praise. We see when Jesus went into the temple was being misused. The Bible says he cleansed the temple. And amen, when he cleansed the temple and drove everything out that didn't belong there, the halt, the maimed, the blind, and all of those came into the temple. And the wonderful news, the Bible says Jesus healed them. And that one of them, he just healed every single one of them, just a big prayer line, or maybe he snapped his finger. I don't know what he did, but nonetheless, he healed every single individual that came unto him. You read down in verse number 15, everybody that was healed began to praise the Lord. So you had life transformation and genuine praise to the Lord. People have their hands raised, they're worshiping God, they're crying out, Hosanna in the highest, giving honor and glory to God. And over on the side, you have the chief priests and the scribes. And the Bible says when they saw what Jesus did, it displeased them. Think of that. Think if Jesus Christ came and wrecked our program and really started transforming lives and people really started praising. I mean, they just couldn't help themselves. They were so filled with the joy of the Lord and they just begin to honor God. How many of us in our churches might be displeased because it didn't go along with what we had in mind? I shared with Pastor Lee last night after his message. Thank you for that, brother. That the first church I pastored in White House, Texas, there was a lady in our church, and my opinion of her is she was very loose living. She had some addictions in her life. She had different things that I disagreed with. And as the young pastor, I just, you know, felt it was my responsibility to kind of protect the thing. And she, one Sunday morning, kind of just spoke up. And she would call, coming down to the front and getting prayer, she would call that the well. And she stood up and she said, Pastor Chris, God told me if we came down to the well, God would bless us this morning. I thought, oh, here we go. You know, what is this? So I ignored her. I just kind of snickered and said, okay, sister, thank you. And I just went on with my message. 5 years later, I was praying all by myself. I wasn't at that church anymore. I was already moved to another state. But I was praying and seeking God, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this 5 years later, speaks to me, says, how do you know I didn't tell her to say that? I said, oh my God, I don't know. Maybe he did, and maybe we missed the revival that we had been fasting and praying on because it didn't come through a vessel like I thought it was going to come. I was like that chief priest or that scribe sitting off to the side, displeased because it didn't fit my agenda. The temple had begun to be misused. Amen. We go a little bit further. We see another parable of the unfruitful fig tree. Jesus goes over to it and he sees this fig tree. The leaves are hardy. It's green. We get the impression that it looks healthy. He goes over to it being hungered and he looks on it and there's no fruit whatsoever. And he curses the fig tree. Later he finds the fig tree and the disciples find the fig tree is withered and Jesus gives them the object lesson of faith and all of those things. But the picture I really believe that we should get out of that, amen, religion was not created just to be a pretty show. Amen, that our ministries were not created to be flowery presentations of sermons and flowery presentations of religion and flowing garments and all of these things that distract people's attention from God. No, I believe, amen, that the attention should be on fruitfulness. Jesus gave us that parable. Amen, then we look at another story here in the same chapter. It's about two brothers. Brother number one, when he was asked to go work in the vineyard, said yes, but he lived no. The second brother said no, but finally came to his senses and went and did. And Jesus gave the lesson. He said, which of these brethren do you think were justified in the eyes of the Lord? And they said, of course, the one that did the will of the Father. And I couldn't help but think, amen, about our ministries. Amen, that oftentimes there's a calling upon our life. And sometimes there's people out there that God puts something in their heart. There's something. Amen. It didn't come from Pastor Terry. It didn't come from TBN. It didn't come from Daystar or any of these other places. It came through a relationship with God. You just sought God and you just loved God. And because you loved God and you were hungry to get close to the Lord started putting something in your heart and your mind, and that thing began to possess you and you wanted that. Well, there are some people that don't naturally automatically want that. Some people run from the calling. And later come to them their senses, and they're not rebuked for not following the Lord. The Lord says they're justified because of the latter obedience. But then yet there are others who instantly and right away they say, yes, Lord. Like Peter, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. But somehow or another, when it doesn't go exactly, amen, like we want it to go, that calling and that burden and that office, if we could call it that, somehow gets on a back burner, and then we begin to embrace all that this life and this temporary world has to offer. We haven't rejected the call. We said yes to the call, but the call isn't getting the attention, and it could be the reason for some of our unfruitfulness. You still with me tonight? When we look at verse number 33, it's a glimpse into the kingdom. There's a vineyard that's planted, there's a hedge, there's a wine press, there's a tower. And again, all of these things were created and given to produce fruit. When we look at the vineyard, we presuppose that the two things that are necessary for fruitfulness is the ground and seed. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the vineyard, the ground and the seed. Amen. We know that from the scriptures that it takes good seed planted in good soil to produce good fruit. He goes on and says he put a hedge about it. Now that hedge is nothing more than a wall or a fence. It's to caution ourselves how far we go out, and it's a boundary for what we allow in. And we understand that man-made rules and man-made hedges are not what the Lord is after. But he did also tell us not to use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, and not to use grace for lasciviousness, and to cry out and have this ticket, if you will, just to be whatever we want and do, amen, whatever we want. I like how Pastor Lee put it. He said, as we walk with the Lord, he will convict us of sin. Beware of any brother, sister, or ministry that will try to ease the pain of your conviction without telling you to change the style or the habit of your life. Amen. That God-given conviction is there. Amen. It's the hedge. It's the wall. It's the Lord saying to us, you're going too far. Get back in the center. Amen. It's also saying we're letting too much in. Amen. Let's reestablish that hedge. Let's just be what God's told us to be. I tell people at our church, I said, be careful what you watch. Now, some people call that meddling. They'd probably be right. But through experience, I know that there's times I've seen things I wish I hadn't seen, and I wrestled with them for days and weeks. There's times things on the internet, scrolling through the YouTube, that I've read sentences that seem to brand upon my mind and couldn't seem to get that out of my mind. Folks, let's be careful. Let's remember the hedge and let's keep it intact. Why? Because we don't want the fruit of God in our lives to fail. It's not about being legalistic or strict. It's not about trying to lord over anybody. Amen. We don't want the fruit of God to fail in our lives. That's why the hedge, amen, is important. Said there's a tower there. We understand that the scriptures say the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. So it's this place of safety, this place of lookout. Amen, but it's also a place of vision. Doesn't that what the Bible say in Proverbs 29? Without vision, the people will perish. If we can't see beyond the right here and the right now, if we can't see into, if I could say this way without you misunderstanding me, if we couldn't see into the spiritual future and see the path that the Lord is trying to take us down, sometimes we lose sight and the necessity of where we're at right now. Where you're at right now, it's not where you're going. It's a step to God's next plan for your life. The tower, amen, is important. Amen, we have to have that place of vision. And ultimately, that wine press. How many know the wine press was the final stage of fruit production in the whole kingdom? Amen, it was coming down to the wire, that wine press. There's a vat, there's a trough. And there's a place where those grapes had to be pressed, and that wine, that juice had to flow down into that trough so that it could be captured and used and benefited from. When I look at this and I think of this, there's a question that popped into my mind. I'm not promoting any theology, but amen, in my religious circle of relationships, we preach divine healing, we preach Holy Ghost baptism, we preach all of the gifts, we believe in them. And we know that the giftings of the Spirit and the fivefold ministry was given for one reason, that's to produce fruit unto God. Amen. It was not to broadcast or to market our own little personal ministries. I know the river's flowing in your life, but you don't have to tell everybody to get them to chase you. Amen, somebody. All of those things were given so that we could produce something for God in our lives. Preachers that preach with anointing, they have that anointing. Not so people will say that's a great preacher, or oh, he's a man of God, or oh, he has so much power. No, preachers that have an anointing because God wants to secure fruit unto his name. People that pray the prayer of faith or work miracles or lay hands. Have you ever just despised that evangelist that just lays hands on them, people just speak in tongues and you're beating them and they're doing nothing, you know? Amen. God uses people. He's ministering through people. He's helping people all so that he can secure something, amen, for himself. When I begin to ask the question, and please don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that this isn't happening anywhere, but as far as the giftings of the Spirit, because I know that the giftings are flowing in certain places. I asked Brother Jeff here the other day, I said, he's been on 60 missions trips, is that right? And I asked him, I said, what was the most spiritually cold place and what was the most spiritually on fire? He said, without a doubt, America is the most spiritually cold place he could think of. But the most spiritually alive was Colombia. He says, the same thing you do in America, you do in Colombia. 100 people go to the altar in Colombia, nobody goes to the altar in America. So you ask the question, where are the giftings? Where is the healing? I mean, I'm just going to be honest. If it was something exclusive to my ministry only and all of y'all are healing people every week, I want to know that. I want to know if I'm doing something wrong. I mean, that's how I feel about things. So where's it at? Where is the power that we hear about from the 50s and all of these generations before us that they just seemed to get into a pulpit? It just seemed to happen. People loved God and there was just this environment where it just happened in great fruition. Well, the question has to have an answer. And I believe tonight that there's a possibility that, amen, the answer lies in the fact that we have failed to give the fruit to God. I think the answer may indeed lie in the idea that when God did use us in the past, when God did speak through us, and when God did enable us, and when we did feel the calling of God upon our life, that oftentimes instead of pointing all the glory back to Jesus and letting people, when they pat you on the back, reminding them, oh, do you feel obligated to do that too? People say, oh, it's a great sermon. Yeah, all glory to God, you know. Instead of pointing all the glory to God, we have heard of ministries and ministers and individuals and religions, amen, that instead of honoring God, honor their own selves and use it for marketing strategies to try and draw people, amen, after themselves. When the blessings and the accolades of our offices fall on us, and the credit and the praise for the gifting of the Spirit become our own, we become owners and not stewards. Hallelujah. I believe that this is the ultimate insult to God because we take the credit for something that was freely given to us. He entrusts it to us. He says, okay, now I'm equipping you. I'm enabling you. I'm making you ready to go out into a world. I'm giving you all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm giving you of myself freely so that you can have an impact and an effect upon a world all around you. Amen. And oftentimes I believe people, when we feel that anointing or we see that work, amen, we say instead of praise God, we say, oh, look at me. Look how I did. No one would say that probably, but we think that. I believe if we want to see a return, amen, of the fruit flowing in freely and a return of the great stories that we've heard from our forefathers, amen, I believe we must return the praise and the fruit back to the rightful owner. I believe that we have to be willing to turn our eyes back upon Jesus. Amen. We've got to turn our hearts back upon Jesus. And if he decides never to use me, that's not going to change my relationship with him one little bit. And if he decides to use me, that's not going to make me love him anymore, because I want to love him with all of my heart, whether he uses me or not. I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, whether he ever does anything through me. I know that preaches better than it lives, but I really want to live that way. Whether he uses me or not, I want to love him with everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We must look at this kingdom again and say to the Lord, Lord, please don't come and take the kingdom. I know, prophetically speaking, he was speaking to Israel and that he was going to take the kingdom and give it to the Gentiles. Amen. But Romans talks about the fact that that Gentile people, they should fear instead of being haughty, because if the Israelites were cast off, then the Gentiles can be cast off too. So when he said in verse number 3, I'm going to take the kingdom from you and give it to somebody else that's bearing fruit, I believe that should bring a fear to our hearts. Amen, somebody. When we look at this kingdom, one of the implements I want to share here tonight, just that last one, that wine press, and I pray that the Lord will give us clarity and that he'll speak to us. Amen. We said that the wine press was the last stage for the production of that fruit. When the grapes were picked and they were processed, they went to a vat. The vat and the trough was called the wine press. It was the place where the grapes were trodden down by several different means, and the juice that was on the inside of those ripe grapes would flow out into a trough or into another place, a staging area, so that we get the place in the scripture where it says, no man puts new wine in old skins. It'll burst out. It would be bottled, if you will. And that wine, what was on the inside of those grapes, was the desire. That's what those servants of the Lord were coming after. They were coming after that wine, that juice. Now, it has several different symbolic meanings, and we're not going to go into that tonight, but the point we're trying to make is, amen, that wine press was necessary. That aggressive place was necessary, amen, in order to get from what was inside the grape on the outside so that it could be utilized. Now, we're talking about handing over the fruit, handing over what belongs to God, and beyond that, handing over what belongs to people out in this world. Because he gave us the kingdom, not for our own personal benefit. He gave us the kingdom for them. He gave us all the giftings and all the anointing and all of those things for the world so that we could pour out unto them. So again, you have this vat and you have this trough. The grapes would be placed in the vat, some kind of heavy instrument. Amen. You've probably seen in television shows where they got in there barefoot and they're punching them around with their feet. Something similar to that, all for the one purpose, is to get that juice out of that grape. And when they did that, that wine again, that juice would flow from that vat, from that grape, into that trough. Amen. What the Lord's calling us to do, he's called upon us, amen, to produce fruit. He let out that vineyard. He says, I'm going to be back, and I'm coming after what rightfully belongs to me. He sent servants, which were the prophets. Amen. They came, and when they saw those prophets, the Bible says they beat some, they killed some, they stoned some. They sent them away. You're not going to get what belongs. You see what's happening here? You're not going to get what belongs to me. We could relate this or parallel this. The Holy Spirit comes, amen, begins to deal with us about ministry and what he wants for our lives, and it doesn't fit into our plan or into our agenda. Amen. If you're not a minister and you're just in a church anyways, and you come to a church, amen, the Holy Spirit comes and starts dealing with you through the message. He's drawing you closer. He's pulling you closer, and automatically there's a controversy. I can't get close to the Lord and pursue my own life too. I mean, it's the controversy. It's there. It's not just you. Hello, somebody. I mean, it's all of us. I feel him tugging and urging and wooing me on to a different place, and I'm all built up and I'm all excited, and I start going after it, and instantly I begin to see the controversy of all that it's going to cost me. Usually in, I don't know about up here, but in East Texas, it happens around deer season. You know, the Lord, he's funny. He'll start moving in people right before deer season to see, you know, what they're going to do. They're going to go opening morning Sunday. They're going to go to the house of God. I know it's legalistic, but that's the way we preach it down there.
What you gonna do? And you say, I want to get close to the Lord. I want the fire of God. I want my life to be full of His love and full of His joy. And there's this path that we have to walk in order for that to become a reality. And we say, yes, we think we're just going to grab it and it's going to be there. And He wants to give it to us. And we take that first step. And instantly we begin to see, this is going to cost me something. And we're forced to kind of stand aright and say, do I really want this? Do I really want this in my life? Unfortunately, I believe a lot of people come to the conclusion and say, no. I think of the rich young ruler. He sure is picked on, but he sure is a good example. I want this eternal life. What do I have to do? He tells him, you did it all. It's mine. I can't wait to have it. Oh, one more thing. One more thing. The Bible says when that thing was mentioned, amen, he turned away sorrowful. Folks, make no mistake about it. God calls upon us to produce fruit, and He will allow us to walk with Him. He will show us great and mighty things. Amen. But it's not without price. So these servants came to find this fruit, to render this cost. And they says, no, we're not willing to give it. We want to keep the blessings for ourselves. We want to keep the fruitfulness for ourselves. We want to talk about being blessed and highly favored. We want to recognize that God has blessed us financially. God has blessed our health. God has done so much in our, He's put our marriages back together. Amen. He's got our kids off of drugs. Amen. He's got them out of lifestyles that were destructive. Amen. And killing them. Amen. And all the time we remind ourselves of all that, oh, hallelujah. He opened doors for us when we needed Him to open doors for us. Amen. We walk through that door freely. And when He come to get the fruit of what He provides, we say, hold on just a second. I'm not ready to give it. But God in His great mercy, when those servants didn't show back up, He said, something's gone wrong. So He sends another band of servants. Go get the fruit. Go see what's happening. And they go, and guess what? It's a repeat. The same thing happens again. And the master of that vineyard, when those servants didn't come back, when there was no response, when there was no recognition that he was trying to deal in their life, he says, you know what? I'm going to have to send my son on this one. Because they're going to see him and they're going to know he's got my name and they're going to realize who he is. And they're going to realize that it's not just some ministry or some. No, the Lord, he's going to send us. He's going to send the son. It's going to be the Lord. And they're going to reverence my son. And the exact opposite happens. Instead of saying, oh, God's finally trying to get my attention. Instead of recognizing that the Lord is trying to talk to me. And he's trying to wake me up. And he's trying to bring me into a fruitful place. And he's trying to get what he's deposited in my life so that I'll be blessing to him. People say, if we get rid of the last individual, this will all be mine. This church will be mine. This ministry will be mine. This recognition, amen, this wealth, this fame, this power, it will be mine. Folks, you can reverse a little bit to the story about the temple. When the chief priests saw the people worshiping God, it displeased them. You know why it displeased them? Because they were losing the fruit. They were losing the clout. They were losing the recognition. They were losing all that they had worked so hard to press upon the people. I mean, the church is finally being fixed. And the preacher's upset about it. God help us. I mean, you're praying, ask God to fill people. And she stands up and says, Pastor, let's get in the well. I'm saying, okay, maybe next week. Folks, I'm telling you here, the Lord deals, amen. He deals in his own business, and we're just, amen, this isn't ours. We're just a part of it, amen. We just get to be a part of what he's doing. So there's this unwillingness to offer the fruit of God. Amen. If we could make a parallel to what happens in the wine press, amen, to what's happening in our lives, there is a pressure. There is a I was going to use the word crush, but Brother Lee kiboshed that last night when he says we're not crushed. So, okay, we are crushed. Praise God. I like the word press. If we could make a parallel between that wine press and our lives and what happens, not just to give to God what belongs to him, but to give to this world what belongs to them. As debtors to this world, we owe them this gospel. We owe them love. We owe them grace. We owe them mercy. We have such a long list of things that we owe them as the children of God. Freely, what did he say? Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Freely ye have received, freely give. Go out there and be a minister of grace, and go out there and be a minister of righteousness and love and forgiveness and mercy. Amen. But folks, we have to understand something. Amen. To be a minister of those things, in order for what's on the inside of us, what God deposited in there. Amen. It's not just a wink of the eye and a nice smile. Sometimes we have to be crushed for what God's put in there to come out. Amen, that wine, if you will, that love, that spirit, all that God's placed in us through his kingdom, all the fruitfulness, all the blessing, all and that big, plump, juicy grape, amen, in order for it to be beneficial, has to be crushed. You think about your life and you think about the encounters and the experiences that you're going through and the hardships and the trials and the dilemmas and the crises and the chaos and all of those things. Amen, that knock you out of your comfort zone. All of those things that knock you out of that comfortable place that you and I just want to live. Amen, all of those things are not happening necessarily because we've done something wrong. Amen, a lot of those things are happening because the Lord has given us a life that overcomes death. God has given us a life that we could stare in a light that we could stare in the face of darkness and we can overcome. Amen, but it's not just transmitted naturally. You must be crushed. There must be a pressure. There must be a difficulty in your life. You know, us Christians, sometimes when difficulty and chaos comes into our life, we think God took us on a wrong turn. Oh, God made a mistake. I like what I was reading this book about pastoring and all that, and the guy in the book, he said, sometimes we pray harder to keep people out of heaven than we do to keep them out of hell. Someone gets sick and goes to a hospital, we have a prayer meeting. World's dying and going to hell. We say, well, maybe someone will do something. I don't know. No, God has placed in every single one of us something that is necessary, I believe, amen, for the kingdom of God. Amen. What the kingdom produces in me and in you must flow to others. Amen. If I'm going to produce love, then I have to encounter hate. If I'm going to produce mercy, then I have to be a recipient of wrongdoing. If I'm going to produce forgiveness, then I have to be mistreated. Amen. If I'm going to produce power, amen, folks, I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. But if we're going to produce power, amen, the kind of power that Jesus had, you are going to have to face demonic forces. You're going to have to face the devil. You're going to have to pray the prayer of faith. You're going to have to let God use you in that capacity. Amen. I'm thankful for all that we feel, amen, in our church services. I'm thankful for the power, amen, as we call it. Amen. But folks, I believe in a power that overcomes death. And I want to be used, amen, in that power. Don't run from your bad experiences. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. Don't withhold what God's trying to get out of you. I mean, he put it there. And those encounters, those experiences are just the ministry of the wine press in your life where God's pressing it out of you so that others can be blessed, so that others can be recipient. The Bible talks about God comforting us in all of our tribulations so that we can comfort others with the same consolation wherewith we had been comforted. Amen. The very things that God has done in our life and is doing in your life, the pain, the sorrow, the suffering, the difficulty, all of those things, it serves a purpose in the local ministry that God has planned for your life. You're not an island unto yourself. Amen. There's people you work with need God. There's people in your family need God. There's people on your street need God. Amen. You might be the only epistle. You might be the only light. I tell you, we're living, amen, in a dark, dark world. You might be the only light they're ever going to see. And if that light is hidden, like the Bible says, they're never going to see the good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But when we get out there and we make ourselves vulnerable and we make ourselves a prey and we say, you know what? God's in control of my life. And if pain comes, then let the pain come. If pressure comes, then let the pressure come. Whatever happens, let it happen, because he's going to get something out of this. Give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to you. Starting in verse number 7 says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now listen to this. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death, listen to verse number 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Isn't that good? Death working in me so that life can work in somebody else. Think about that. My fruitfulness, my life being crushed so that somebody could go over to the trough, if you will, and be a beneficiary of the blessings that God's put in my life. The fruitfulness, the joy, the love, the peace, all of those things flowing out because of my experiences, because of the tragedies, and somebody else becoming blessed by those things. The individual that came to mind, and I'm closing with this thought, was Daniel. We know the story of Daniel and the den of lions, how that they had become captives in Babylon, and they're there, and they were choice men, and God blessed them wonderfully in Babylon, didn't he? I mean, God preserved, God did great things through Daniel. And even had pagan kings basically bowing, saying, his God is God. There came this moment, but through trickery, that he was thrown into that den of lions. And I wonder, you know, we don't get any implications from the text that he was trying to get out of it necessarily. But I wonder if the thought crossed his mind, God, you've been so good to us. You've blessed my life so many times already. So many times already. You've just preserved me. Now it looks like it's all over. So many times you've given me the right word to say, and now no matter what I say, doesn't seem like I'm going to get to stay out of this situation. Well, you know the story. God shut the mouths of the lion. God still took care of him. But it was through that encounter, through that facing of death. I like what Brother Owen says. This wasn't a lion's den. This was a den of lions. They was home. That's what he says. They were in there. But from fruitful to facing death, all that God's name could be glorified in somebody else's life. I want you to think about your scenario. Would you stand with me? I want you to think about your scenario, maybe what you're dealing with. They say that every Christian's in one of three places, either about to go into a trial, in a trial, or coming out of a trial. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're in a trial tonight. And as human beings do, we all done it. I know I have. Saying, why me? Man, I just want to pastor this church. I just want to preach good sermons. I just want people to get saved. I just want us to have good fellowship. I just want us to all love each other and the money be there to pay the bills when it's necessary and the trucks start when it's supposed. Man, that's just what I'm looking for, you know. And all of those things just kind of like get crisscrossed sometimes, don't they? Doesn't happen quite like I'm anticipating. Why? Obviously, all of those things are very minor. Some people have lost loved ones, lost children, got the bad news, all of those things, and we say, why? I mean, the pain, the suffering, the sorrow. It's hard for us to see all that God's going to get out of this. But I come by, amen, and hopefully I can encourage you tonight just to know that God has not made a mistake in your life. He has not made one mistake in your life. You're not in uncharted waters. You're not blazing a new trail. God knows, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with you. He's the one that took you there. I like what it says about Christ. It says he, you know, went up to into the wilderness and was led of the Spirit up there to be tempted of the devil. Spirit doesn't lead you to do that. He leads you to talk in tongues and be excited, you know. No, he was led of the Spirit to go into a wilderness to fast and to be tempted of the devil and to suffer. But you know, at the end of that time, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And I want to encourage you tonight that you might be being led into a wilderness. You might be in the middle of the wilderness. You might be wondering, God, get me out of here. And he's not getting you out of there as quickly as you want. I want to encourage you tonight. I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want you to know that God's going to bring you out in his timing. Don't focus. Listen, if I could just encourage you, we're going to pray. Don't focus on your trial. Don't focus on the pain. Easier said than done, I know. Don't focus on the pain. Focus on not failing to give God what belongs to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Would you just raise your hands tonight? Amen. Brother, if you want to play something soft. Lord, we just love you tonight. And Lord, I just pray tonight that this message that you've given, Lord, would serve to encourage somebody. Lord, maybe, God, as I was preaching it, you kind of stirred my heart. Maybe there's one of those two brothers. Maybe there's a brother here that has said yes to the call of God but is living no. He knows or she knows there's a call of God on their life and is living contrary to the call. Maybe there is someone here tonight, Lord God, that's like that fig tree. The leaves are beautiful and bountiful. There are a lot of them. It's full, but there's no fruit on the tree. Maybe there's a ministry here tonight that there's a lot of hustle and bustle in the ministry, but their lives are not being transformed and there's not genuine praise going up. Well, I would just pray tonight that God, you'd give us courage to face it. God, you'd give us courage to become what we're supposed to be and realize the kingdom's been given. You said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You said, we have the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Lord, tonight we would just ask that, God, you'd strengthen our walks with you, strengthen our walk with you, strengthen the ministry. And that, Lord God, if you want to come by and clean up our churches and clean up our ministries and clean up our lives so that there can be fruit, Lord God, we ask you to come and do that tonight. I trust you for that, Lord. Not only that, but Lord God, when the pain, suffering, and all of those things start happening, Lord, there's so many times I've tried to just find any kind of pleasure and comfort I could in the midst of my trial. Forgive me for that. Help me, God, to offer up the fruit that rightfully belongs to you and belongs to others. In Jesus' name. If you want to come down to this altar tonight and make a place to pray and you just want to get alone with the Lord, I invite you to do that. The Lord's not looking to take the kingdom away from us. That's not his goal. The goal is not to keep us from the kingdom, but the goal is to give us the kingdom that we might produce fruit for his glory, his honor, his praise. The Bible says we're the sheep of his pastures. It's he that made us and not we ourselves. And Lord, we just surrender to you now. Hallelujah. Thank you.